it's that time of year where people are quitting. I have mixed feelings about this time of year quitting because, one, it is probably the most professional way to do it. But two, we like a little drama over here. Yeah. So you just respectfully coming in at the end of the like post last day of school teacher workday and just respectfully being like, hey, I decided not to sign my contract for next year. Is that probably the best way to do it? Probably. I wouldn't know. Can't relate. Probably goes a lot smoother. Probably a lot less crying for all parties involved, I would imagine.
Most of all, your principal.
Most of all. I think I was sob crying. I think he was like, you know when Regina George like bust in her bedroom in Mean Girls and is like screaming?
Yes.
I think that's what he was doing. And I was doing like more of the like traditional crying.
For sure.
But lot of you all are quitting at this time of year. And let's talk about it. I feel like this time of year quitting is usually not an impulse decision.
No, you've been thinking about it. But that, you know, we do respect you for being so profesh. Good job.
I'm wishing I was you. Like, I would enjoy it more if you had gone crazy. Like, that would be better for this podcast. But looking at you, I'm like, yeah, it'd be cool if I was capable of that.
Oh my God. Well, these are our patrons as well. These people have paid good money to tell us their woes. And you know what? Good for you. Thank you. We love you.
Thank you. This is a good use of money. Mm-hmm. I feel like, do you know when the Democrats send those campaign emails? Oh, that's how I feel asking people to join our Patreon.
Hilarious. We should somehow make a text message that does that.
Yeah.
I think that'd be really funny.
Help! The future of education is on your shoulders.
And it's like, there's got to be like a picture of us at the end.
For sure. We need like a stock photo themed, like emotional session where we just take dramatic photos of every emotion, kind of like the theater mask. Yeah, that's what we need.
Actually, guys, we'll be right back. We just had a good idea. Anyways, do you want to read first or do you want me to read first?
You read first because I haven't picked one to read.
Me either, but that's fine by me. Okay, this one is so long.
Good.
We'll begin. Hello, Fraz and Redacted. I have a doozy of a story for you two, so I apologize in advance for a longer post. Would you please all stop apologizing for the long posts? We have an hour to fill, and we only release half of that to the public. I needed to get this story out of me and cleanse my soul. Perfect. This was my first year teaching, and I was hired by a small district in which I taught all levels of theater and regular sophomore English. Oh my God. So English and theater teachers are to the arts world what football and history are to the athletic world.
Okay. Okay.
We're talking your language.
Yeah. Okay. It took me a second to follow that, but I'm here now. Yes.
It says, the school overall had about 550 students. Oh, it's tiny. I will not be returning to this district for reasons that are going to be pretty clear. However, I am going to instead format this in a different way, both telling you things that happened this year and the different points in which myself and other teachers decided to leave the district. God, I love a theatrical human. Thank you so much. Can we turn this into a one act?
Yes.
Here we go. Before the year began, a younger female math teacher decided this would be her last year when she found out that a decent amount of incoming freshmen would be placed in two different math classes, one of which was for on-level sophomores. While this was a pathway that some freshmen could take, it was not recommended as it was a lot of stress for the student and this teacher would have a group of random freshmen in his class who didn't really want to be in that course. When this math teacher asked why this was the case, she was told that this would free the students to take courses that would get them associate degrees in junior and senior year. For this teacher, that was a final straw. She felt it was a clear sign that the district did not care about what was best for students or teachers, but what was good for the metrics of the district, which was getting kids an associate degree. The fact that we had changed from a high school to an early college high school was also a big indicator of this shift. I'm not going to lie, I don't really understand.
I'm pretty sure the term early college high school does not have any regulation around it the way like an AP program, an IB program. I don't think that's really a thing. I think what it means is it is a more academically advanced public school, because my district has one. And I'm not 100% clear on why certain kids go there. It's a very small school with very advanced classes. That's like the building is attached to the district. But I don't really know what qualifies someone to go there, because I don't think it's a charter school because it's literally attached to the district. So I think it's something like that where it's like, I know some smaller districts, if it doesn't make sense to have, if you have a small district with small schools, you don't have enough kids at each school to offer AP calculus. So I think it's easier to just like bus all the advanced kids to one location is what I think that probably means. But like I said, I don't think there's like specific regulations around that term, at least that I'm aware
of. Got it. Okay. Oh my word. Well, there you go, friends. Okay. The next one, next paragraph says, when the school year started, I found out that they had given me a second period class that included a lot of freshman football boys in a theater class. Oh, the vibe was not good. The boys horse played. Oh, you used the word horse play. They ate you alive in there, didn't they?
I already know exactly how this went down, and I hate to interject, but I'm going to tell you how you probably could have avoided all these problems. As soon as those, and for any new teachers listening, I would consider myself a pro at dealing with 11th grade boys in a not weird way. And as soon as they started, as you said, horse playing, you should have started to narrate it as if they were in a play, and then they would have given themselves the ick because they don't want to do theater. So like if they were playing, I literally would have been like, the two estranged brothers fought with great fury. Like I would have started going in, and then they would have gotten embarrassed and stopped.
There you go. You know what? Guys, call us. Stop quitting and start FaceTiming us in the middle of your biggest issues.
Whenever kids do something like that, this sounds like prison advice, but whenever teenage boys do something like that to you, they're kind of trying. I don't think they even know they're doing it to embarrass you, but they're doing it to put you on the spot and see how you handle it. So if you flip it and you're like, no, I'm actually going to embarrass you, that's how you really assert your dominance over the vibes.
Write that down. Write that down. Damn. Oh, that's why she's here, folks. Okay.
Best teaching advice I ever got was you have to show them you are crazier than you are, or you are crazier than they are.
I got that relationship advice once. It says, so the boys horse played, yelled racial slurs, and did not pay any attention to instruction constantly. I went to both admin and the counselor's office a few times to ask that these schedules be changed, since it was an elective course and these kids clearly did not want to be in that class. I was told that these changes could be made, but I, quote, needed to do my part. I did understand that to an extent, but I had already made frequent parent contact. I know he is a handful, but just get on him. Oh, that's what they said to you? Oh, boy. And had written referrals for that behavior.
I know he's a handful.
Little Johnny is just so crazy.
That was that parent's way of saying, your guess is as good as mine, bitch. I don't know why you're calling me, because I don't know what to do either.
It says, as the year progressed, the behavior got better, and through relationship building and just several kids leaving that class because they hated being in the room, I am talking about senior girls being in a class with freshman football boys, I was able to get them something that resembled under control. However, schedule changes were not made, and I was told several times throughout the first semester they would, quote, look into it. All of that said, I did not have as tough of a year as the freshman female math teacher. Her class had a lot of boys and also a group of rowdy clowns who thought they were funny. Incidents included them calling her a MILF to her face, making comments about her ass when she would face the board, stealing her snacks, and throwing markers at a freshman new arrival to the country who did not speak English. Oh,
gross. This is rough.
All of this came to a head on a day in the sixth week when a quiet girl we both shared left her food unguarded for a few minutes, and these freshman boys opened the meal and started to eat it. Then they decided it was a bad meal and started messing with it, and it ended up on the floor of the classroom, and several, about 10, boys just said that was nasty and walked out of the classroom. When admin found out, they blamed the teacher, and with the EOC only a few weeks away, they decided that she just could not control that class and took away the planning period from another math teacher who was a veteran that had worked at the district for 20 years. That really upset this younger math teacher, as she had made requests for schedule changes since the first 6 weeks, and they had never done it until this point when they said she just couldn't manage that classroom. In my classroom, after the first semester, they kept my theater classes, but they had given me an EOC-tested course in sophomore English and decided that my benchmark data was weak. I do want to take responsibility for maybe not having the best lessons or classroom management, but I would also like to point out that I had never gotten a PLC or gone to a training on this test or gone to a training on this test or how to teach or structure this course. This entire time, I was also supposed to be coaching one-act play for my school, but when I got to the district, I found out that we were not going to have the auditorium until October, and the competition was in April. Okay, maybe I could live with that, except for the fact that the auditorium was constantly delayed, and it was not open until late May. We read another submission where that happened. Do you remember that?
Vaguely.
They where, had a like, competition, they had to but do there a was, play- like...
Yeah. It seems like the poor planning
again. And they're like, just make it work.
They're like, it's like a, what was that show? Project Runway, where they would just like give them a fucked up ass situation.
Yes.
They'd be like, you have to make a dress. You get straws and no sewing machine. Make it work.
Good luck, baby. That's showbiz. Every time I would ask for an update, they told me that something had gone wrong with the construction crew and that they were not doing their jobs or had done something wrong. Isn't it crazy that we've been doing this long enough that I remember when Jay was talking with me while I was reading submissions, and now it's the next one? We've been together a long time.
When I came up to my camera and you were like in your kitchen with her, it like I was like, am I in a time machine right now? like she looked so much like Jay that I like got the spooks for a second. And then I was like, oh no, it's the new one. I was like, was last night a dream of 2 years?
Where the fuck was I? Oh, okay. Eventually, I just told the admin that the one act could not happen that year, given that we didn't have, you know, a stage. I also want to say that we had a delay on scripts that lasted for a month and caused us to really lose momentum as a group. As the school year progressed, other events came up that just made our lives harder. Come here. So it says, as the school year progressed, other events came up that just made our lives harder. A student wrote on the walls of the restroom that they were going to blow up the school, and then, like, a day later, they wrote in another school bathroom, oh no, that they were going to RAPE. I don't even want to say that word out loud.
Less than ideal. Less than ideal, for sure.
Gross. The student was found through security footage, and we were then told that this student would be sent to juvie, but after he served his time, could come back to the school for his senior year. None of the senior teachers were happy with this showing of grace. Oh, Jesus Christ. One teacher said that the way admin handled the situation was the moment she knew she had to quit this job, especially because we had a send-off for our soccer team that day in which all students and staff were outside at the same time in the same place after a student threatened to blow up the school. She felt that maybe the soccer team did not need to be waved at in that moment. Maybe they could have left without us just staring at them and waving. Another part of the story is that the admin was firm in saying that students needed to show up to play in that soccer playoff round, so the coach had to call these parents and tell them to bring their kids to school the day after someone had made a bomb threat, or else they would not get to play in the soccer playoff they had been working towards all year. The coach said that made him feel icky, but he spoke to the admin and they said, rules are rules. Later in the year, a paraprofessional who was assigned to two of my classes was arrested for sexting a student, and the other students would mention this constantly to try to get me either phased or off task. His wife also worked for the campus, as a counselor, and stayed with him as this was happening. Maybe not the time to stand by your man, but whatever, I guess. She left when he got arrested for like a week, but she came back and it was weird. Students would ask me how I felt that we had a woman who was staying with her sex predator husband on our campus, and I would try to skirt the question because honestly, I did not love it. I did love it when the students started calling her Nicki Minaj.
Oh my God. Children are incredible. I wouldn't have defended her either. I would have been like, y'all are calling her Nicki Minaj? Carry on.
Yeah, suddenly I can't hear or see anything. Oh, I didn't know they were doing that.
Who's Nicki Minaj?
Right, I don't know. I'm not familiar. Other things that happened that year included my AC going out for like a week, so I had to teach in the lecture hall sharing it with other teachers. One time, a girl threatened to beat my ass, so I had to call admin, and then later in the year, she did it again in another class, so she got to... So she got sent to DEAP, think ISS, but for like a month. Do you have that? What is that?
We have an alternative school. So like ours, it's like they're going to alternative school for the end of the year for 2 weeks. Like it's like a step beyond. Because I think the longest we can suspend a kid is 10 school days. So anything above that, they go to the alternative school. And to go to alternative school, we have to have like a whole thing. Like you have to have like kind of like a hearing with the admin and the parents are supposed to come.
Wow.
Like it's never, like it's hard to send someone to alternative school. Like I can't just make a call and be like, get them out of here. Like it has to go through like a process.
I learn something new every day. So this says, at the end of the year, my fifth period, which had a lot of kids that were chill and cool, but also really bitter and kind of sour, had a ringleader get in trouble with me for being annoying. And he and his friend group went to the local church youth pastor and asked him to, quote, pray for me. The pastor agreed, and like 15 of my students in this small church youth group prayed for my soul. I asked them what they prayed for, and they just said, you, just for you. Another student in that period gave me a poster project in which they had a cross drawn on it, and when I asked about it, they said, that's for you to find Jesus, sir.
For sure. For sure. Thank you.
I can't. Towards the end of that year, a veteran math teacher was found out to have a camera in his classroom that he set up and left running when he was out to make sure that students were not stealing from him. This was the second major incident with this teacher, as I found out in the previous year, he had gotten suspended for pulling two bilingual students out of the classroom and telling them that this was America and they needed to learn English. At the end of this year, I was called to the principal's office and was kind of ambushed with a meeting with the superintendent in which she, the super, basically said that I needed to quit before I was fired. She was very formal and PRE in her story, and she basically said that not having one-act play and having so many behavioral issues and having such bad data that they needed to switch my classes were all leading to them feeling like I sucked at teaching. She firmly but nicely told me that she would give me a shit reference if I didn't quit and would be especially harsh if I tried to complain to the board about this termination. She said if I quit and just did my job going forward, she would give me a neutral reference and the district would give me a neutral teacher evaluation for my license. I am not sure if this is true, but she did say some kinda nice things like, I just think this district was not the right fit for you. And my son is a teacher and his first year was awful and I told him to quit because he was going to be fired. The first year sucks and I don't want to ruin your career. I am very lucky to know that at least I worked for a great group of other teachers, because when they found out what had happened and I was not renewed and asked to resign, they were not happy. My teacher bestie at the school suspects that they were hoping that I would be open to quitting, because if I wanted to make a deal about it, he feels like I could, and he feels that if I tried hard enough, I could have advocated the board for my job, or at least given the local school Facebook page some dirt that would not reflect great on our admin team. Another teacher said that, quote, I had asked for help several times, and as far as anybody told her, I never got any. And she called the whole thing bullshit. I agree, but I do not feel like fighting. I was not having a good time at that district. They were not having a good time with me teaching, and my students were not having a ball with me and the stress that they could see I was under. I am now looking for a new job in another neighboring district. I hope I can find one before the end of the summer. If not, I might just take a year away from education. I'm looking at jobs in journalism. On the side of all of this, I coached a writing team and got a student senior to regionals. Or maybe a boring, low-key government admin job that pays the bills. All in all, I am happy to leave the district, but I do want to try another location just to see if that district was really not the best fit for me, or maybe this profession is just not what I am meant to be doing. Thank you for reading this long, long email. The end.
A lot to unpack.
A lot to unpack.
Much to unpack.
Damn. Sorry about that.
One of the ones from the
DMs.
Hi, ladies. I have a why I quit story. Not teaching entirely, but why I quit my school. Sorry for the length.
Stop it.
Trigger warning, suicide. Oh, yikes.
Aww.
A few years ago, I worked at a private Catholic school. It was my second year of teaching, and I'd recently left my first school that I loved to move closer to home. Being the bright-eyed and bushy-tailed second-year teacher that I was, I came in ready to teach with the goal that students would actually learn. In a shocking turn of events, I later learned that learning was not something my school cared about at all, but we will get there. Oh, I'm sad. I came to school on the first day and found out that despite being a co-ed school, my school separated girls and boys for core classes. Can't wait to hear your opinions on that. What are your opinions on that?
I think that's really weird.
I do too. Why? But I don't hate it. I might have made this up, but I remember reading one time that about separating the sexes for education, and it usually leads to higher educational outcomes for girls.
Oh, yeah.
But boys, it leads to lower educational outcomes. So I kind of think it's like slay for the girls.
Didn't we read that in the standardized testing episode?
I think so. And then I also saw a thing that said when girls and boys are separated, with girls, bullying goes down, but with the boys, bullying goes up.
Poor boys. Poor gentleman.
So I don't know. I have very, so like as a girl, I'm like, right. Get him out of here. Like, let's learn.
Yeah.
But I do think it sends kind of a weird message too.
Yeah. I don't know. I don't know why they would do that at a I've never heard anything like that, I guess.
Yeah. Me either. That's very weird that it's like at just the core. That seems like a logistical nightmare, but I digress.
Yeah.
So me, a small baby 24-year-old new teacher, was given a class of 36 sophomore boys to teach in an honors class that no one told me about until right before the first day. The school was huge on sports, and nearly 20 of the boys in the class were on the baseball team. Obviously, I tried to teach them, as I was hired to do, and they were incredibly resistant. You're describing it so respectfully, which I love. They were resistant to learning. Every single day was chaos. I could not go through a single lesson without nearly crying from their lack of listening, their lack of willingness to do work, and the lack of discipline. I would write detentions and talk to my supervisor, and not a single thing happened other than me being told to write less detentions. Also, for context, I was having success with my other classes, primarily the ones without baseball players. So it's not that I was ineffective. They were just simply there to play sports and didn't care about school. I spent hours at home trying to change my approach for that class and tried every trick in the book. Nothing worked. Not that you asked for my advice, but I'm going to give it. I would get the baseball outfit from High School Musical, and then I would show up to their practice and make them do manual labor. I would get the coach involved on that. I would be like, what strength and conditioning do they, and you got to pitch it to the coach because the coach doesn't want to deal with your ass, I'm assuming. So you got to ask the coach, what strength and conditioning do they hate the absolute most? What day do you do that? And can I take over for you that day? Enjoy the afternoon off. I am happy to oversee them for that afternoon. And I would put on my little High School Musical baseball outfit and yeah, your coach said we're doing 500 weighted push-ups, so let's get to it. And I would record it, and I'd be like, I'll show him if you're refusing to do it.
I am obsessed with that. See, but if they're, of course they want our input. You're like, you didn't ask for this. Yes, they did. By sending, they did. They want to know everything.
They did.
We have to say. Genius.
On one particularly bad day, one of the boys called me a fat bitch, and the other one said, "Why don't you just go home and kill yourself? No one wants you to be here anyway." Again, my advice is you respond to that with, "Your dad wanted me here last night." Like, you really just have to show them that you are willing to say crazier things than you are, because I cannot believe a child said that to you. I finally reached a breaking point and reported these behaviors to the baseball coach. I detailed how the entire year the students had been unwilling to listen to me and that their recent behavior had crossed a line. The coach told me he would meet with his players. The next day, the students came in and told me that the coach had said that if I try to get them in trouble or try to yell at them, they were to email the coach immediately so that he could come into my room in the moment to yell at me. That is crazy. I've never had a coach not take my side like that. That's I've definitely had a coach that's like, they don't want to help me, like they ignore me, but I've never had a coach be like, if Miss Redacted's yelling at you, call me and I'll yell at her. That's crazy.
I'm so mad right now.
I've worked with tons of coaches, and I would say the spectrum of my experience goes from either like them ignoring me and not being helpful to like them being such a rock for me to lean on. And we had like amazing teamwork. I've never had someone like actively cause me problems.
That is disrespectful, like colleague to colleague, but it's disrespectful like as a human being.
Like adult to adult.
And
what the hell?
The fact that it's like a fucking man.
Mm-mm. Insane. Mm-mm.
Gonna yell at me. My ass. Try it. Try it.
Who do you think you are?
Remember that thing about who's crazier?
Me.
I will win.
If I were you in this situation, if he was married, I would catfish him online and then report it to his wife. And if he's not married, catfish him online and extort him for money. Like, that, at a certain point, he deserves it.
I can't even. I'm speechless because I'm so mad right now.
Unfortunately, there's more. I usually don't make a habit of listening to kids when they say things like that, but when multiple children came to me with the exact same story, there's probably some truth to it. I immediately told my mentor teacher, who talked to the principal. Later that day, I was called into a meeting with the principal, director of curriculum, and the baseball coach. In this meeting, my principal defended the coach and told me that she understands that I, quote, do not feel confident teaching these boys, but that I was to not speak to them disrespectfully. I had never done that a single time in my life, even when I was disciplining them. I was kind and firm. I had also made it abundantly clear that it was not my inability to teach them or lack of confidence that was causing these issues. It was their behavior. She also told me that the baseball coach would be happy to come in my room and give me some teaching tips if needed. Finally, she said that I would be getting evaluated more frequently to ensure that I was acting in an appropriate and professional manner. I am still grateful to this day that they had this meeting at the end of the day, because I was able to walk out of the school before I lost my shit. I quit the next day with no other job lined up, and now I work at the best school ever.
See, that's karma. That's what JoJo Siwa meant.
JoJo Siwa jump scare. I'm really not over like how much terrible karma this baseball coach deserves.
Literally, I can't, I literally am so mad. Saying that to a group of boys to empower, like being like, oh, if she says something to you, tell me and I'll yell at her. Like, no, no. Like, what message does that send? I'm sorry. That's crazy. So rude.
It's a lot.
Well, see, and that's why you walked out and you got a good job, because you deserved it. God said, here you go.
I wonder if a single one of those children is going to go on to play professional baseball.
I don't know. Historically, baseball players are mean to me, so I don't give them much thought historically.
My mom has a friend that like works in the sports world. I can't remember what he does, something with like advertisers. And he said, and he's worked with tons of athletes across, like men, women across different countries, different sports, different ages. And he said, American baseball players are the worst fucking group of people to work with, and all of them cheat on their wives.
They have always been very mean to me. Like, I am just to the point where, like, when I would see, like, in high school or college, if there was a guy that was wearing, like, the baseball necklace, I would be like, stay away. I'm staying so far away from this human being, because they were so unkind.
Do you want to read one more?
Yeah, let's read one more. This says, so I didn't quit teaching, but I am moving schools. We'll allow it. I was teaching sixth grade history at the middle school when they opened the new school just for sixth grade. We called ourselves the crazy school. One reason I decided to move schools was because some of the teachers. They made all the history teachers also English teachers. So we had only two classes instead of four, but had them for 2.5 hours. All capital letters. Too much time spent with a sixth grader. Anyways, there was only one teacher who had taught sixth grade history, so the other six teachers needed a lot of help. The other teacher, we will call her Ms. Smith, was the department head for history since she was at the middle school longer than me. Now, I do not trust what Ms. Smith did with her kids. like Holocaust simulation type stuff. Assigning some kids to be Jewish and others Germans and some kids to be Jewish and role-playing. What in the hell is wrong with people?
Such a choice.
I know. How many times are we going to talk about experiential learning being used for good and not evil? Like, that is a stupid thing. You sat there and wrote that lesson plan, Ms. Smith. You sat there and you planned it and you prepped it, and the whole time, God, you might have even told somebody about it and nobody stopped you. And you
didn't
stop yourself.
That's what always gets me. I'm like, you had to have told somebody about this. That's where I always find myself, is like, even if you're that off your rocker, someone had to have, like, even someone in the copy room being like, what's that?
Right. You would think. One would think, but you know what? I shouldn't be surprised anymore. So, Karen, continuing on. So I didn't want what she had to give. I told her to put in one copy of everything for me instead of making all my copies. So you did know. Okay. After that comment, she stopped sharing everything with me and my morning planning team. She and the other half of the ELA/history team had afternoon planning, so it was hard to plan together. My morning plan team was stressed about teaching history because we didn't have a curriculum. I love history and planning lessons, so I made a curriculum guide. I made a Google Doc with a calendar of ideas of what to teach. I included links and worksheets and everything you'd need. I shared this with the whole department because it was helpful. And a teacher in Ms. Smith's planning team came to me and said she wasn't getting any help from Ms. Smith. Anyways, after I shared my guide, Ms. Smith emailed me to meet her after school. Meet me after school, bitch. Where she got really upset with me and told me I made her look like she wasn't doing her job as department head. But she wasn't. She wasn't sharing anything with anyone except for her teacher bestie, who was actually crazy. Like, I've never worked with people like them. Ms. Smith continued to withhold stuff from us, like resources and materials for our activities for our kids. We learn about World War I and trenches and usually make our own trenches in bins with sand. And Ms. Smith had the sand and didn't give any to me or my morning planning. I was frustrated because I don't care how she felt about me, and she could be mad at me, but it wasn't fair to take it out on my kids. This drama was exhausting, and there was even more with the English department head, but I can't even get into it. I respect that. You guys were really into, like, role play teaching history. You made trenches?
That, I've never done that. I'm so lazy, and I hate anything like that because, like, this is a personal character flaw in me. I should probably write this down for therapy. Like, I'm going to spend hours and tons of money prepping this little activity for you where you're realistically only learning 1 to 2 facts from this.
Right.
And, like, the government gave me a list of hundreds of facts you need to know. So I'm not going to spend an hour and a half exclusively on the structure of a trench right now, unfortunately.
Right. I mean, I am kind of the opposite, where I'm, like, really, really good at planning shit like that. And I will not have any standards aligned, anything. I'm like, I'm a dreamer, baby. Here's what we're going to do. I don't know what I'm going to assess you on, but damn it, we're going to have a great time. So that's where I always need my support.
No, I'm the reverse, where I'm like, so the standard explicitly mentioned this. So I made a PowerPoint that has the same word number frequencies. Like the standards are in my brain, unfortunately.
Or fortunately for us all. Okay, so there's unfortunately more. Here we go. The other major thing that made me move schools was my assistant principal and main principal. The assistant principal was all about grace. He would not hold kids accountable for their actions. We had a faculty meeting in December where he said he would start writing more referrals because the kids had been running the school with no consequences. In February, he took that back and told us that he didn't trust us and we had to prove this to him. This was most likely due to the English department head who would write referrals in a power struggle way. Students would say, "Yes, ma'am," in the wrong tone or talk at silent lunch and get referrals. That was messed up, but the assistant principal should have discussed that with her instead of including all of us in that. I very rarely write referrals, and if I do, I have documentation for it. It was hard for me to be told I wasn't trusted for someone else's actions. On field day, one kid threw a rock and it hit another kid in the eye. That kid had to be sent home and was in so much pain. I took the kid that threw the rock to the assistant principal and told him what happened. I asked if we should write a referral or if he should sit in the office for the rest of field day. He replied that he could tell the student felt bad and that he was going to give him grace. He even told the student to rejoin the group. The student was even shocked and asked if he could have a referral or detention. I did not just let the student join his group and made him sit out. On the other hand, on the same day, our main principal had no clue what was happening. We were given a strict schedule for field day. We have over 400 kids at our school, so you'd think the principal would know something. In the morning, I didn't even know where to take the kids. I saw her on our way downstairs and asked her. She said she didn't know anything. After our first activity, we were sent inside to cool down. After 20 minutes, I asked her what we were doing next. Again, she didn't know and said, and I quote, "I'm just at work." That sums her up. And she was not involved and relied on us to come up with ideas. I have so much more, but that is a mini summary of why I'm leaving that school. And I wasn't the only to leave. 7 people left this year and more wanted to. I'm so glad I'm not returning. I'm staying in the same district, but going to a well-oiled machine of a school. My new principal is so kind and involved, so fingers crossed to a better year. Holy shit. I'm just at work? Me too, girl.
That is unfortunately so me, but that is precisely why I'm not in administration.
Right. Like, also, like, yeah, you're at work, but that's actually your job.
Yeah, like that is the buck kind of stops at you knowing what's going on. That's like the core tenet of your job.
I'm so confused. I feel like the term like, oh, grace is the referral or grace is the detention. I feel like that's them just being checked out. And one time that principal used the word grace and like a parent or a teacher was like, oh, my God. You're so right. And then they just like used it forever.
They just stuck with it. I need to like remember mine. At my old school, I had a really good thing that I would always say anytime someone was like trying to make me do work.
We need to remember.
Like, what was it? Oh, I remembered what it was. Anytime they would try and make me do an activity I didn't feel like dealing with, I would be like, how is this pushing their literacy skills though?
It's like it worked once and somebody was like, that was so smart.
And everyone was like, you're right. Like, whenever I would bring up literacy, like when they would be like, give them this multiple choice benchmark, I was like, ugh. And I really just like didn't feel like learning how to use that computer program. So I would just be like, is this as literacy based as it could be? And everyone was like, you're right. And I was like, yeah, it probably would be better if I thought of something. I didn't want to say that, but if that's what you're suggesting.
I'm obsessed. Guys, write that down. I'm telling you, take that home with you. Try it out at your next day of school.
Alrighty. Well, thank you for sharing why you're quitting with us. Thank you to our patrons. If you're not a patron, we still love you, but we'd love you even harder if you were a patron. Kind of when like moms really prioritize their sons over their daughters, right. Like that's the way that we're viewing mm-hmm. the patrons. Like, yes, you're all our children and we love you, of course. But like the patrons, you know what I'm saying?
They gave us $4.
They gave us four whole dollars.
For nothing.
Exactly. So thank you to our patrons. Thank you for everyone that submits. And if you were thinking about quitting this year and you did it, rock on, Rockstar. If you're thinking about it and you didn't pull the trigger, it's never too late. You can lose your mind randomly on October 3rd and quit. It's never the wrong
time. And you know what? If you do, that would be better for us. Just not to make it about us, but I mean, we do have a podcast.
Not to center myself in your career, but if you want us to talk about it.
I mean, that sounds...
Sometimes are juicier than others.
Forget everything I ever said about don't make career decisions in October or March. Just go ahead and do that.
Do it.
Bye. We love you.
This is Scott Campbell from the Stupid Things for Love podcast. I have a 7-year-old son, and the biggest mountain I climb every day is trying to put shoes on this child. And I'm so grateful to Skechers for making the only shoes my son will willingly put on by himself. Their slip-ons are amazing, and he doesn't have to deal with laces. He doesn't have to deal with anything. They come in the perfect color blue. Thank you, Skechers, the comfort technology company. And you can find Skechers everywhere, Skechers.com, a Skechers store, or wherever stylish footwear is sold.